Thank you, Norma. The fact that we believe in the Lord Jesus, who loves us and is always there for us. I particularly want to thank Betsy and Lori and the choir, and we just are blessed with such great music which touches our heart and soul and lifts us unto the Lord. So thank you very much for all that you do for us. Thank you. For a few weeks, I'm spending time in a series called The Foundations of the Christian Faith in Genesis. Last week, we talked about beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That also in Revelation, it talks about another beginning, a new heaven and a new earth, which will be the new place for all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been forgiven and we loved and we will have a home that will be there for eternity. It will be a constant new beginning with the Lord. And today, I'd like us to spend some time talking about Cain and Abel. And the question today is, what about Cain? Well, just to start us off this morning, I read this story that I thought I'd share with you, that before church one Sunday, a mother gave her young daughter $1.25. $1.25. And she said, "Sweetheart, you can put either one of these in the offering plate. It's up to you." So the service ended, and as they were driving home, the mother asked her daughter, "Sweetheart, what did you decide to do?" She said, "Well, at first I was going to give the dollar," said the daughter, "but the man behind the pulpit said God loves a cheerful giver. So I felt that I would be a much more cheerful giver if I gave the quarter instead of the dollar." Well, I can understand her logic in her mind, but that is certainly not what is intended for the offering. As Alan was sharing with us this morning, and as we know, we don't give our offerings and our gifts under compulsion. We give them because we want to see the Church of Jesus Christ grow. We want to see it spent in a way that others came to know the Lord and come to know Him as Savior. We want to see the church built. We want to see this church grow and become the people that God wants us to be. And that the offerings are acceptable before God if given with a heart that loves Him and cares for Him and knows that He is our Lord and our God and that He has saved us. We give because we want to, not under compulsion, because of our love and the love that God has for us. We want to give to Him for the building of His church. And this morning, I would like to look at two offerings. One offering, which was accepted by God, and the other offering, which God had no regard. And these two offerings are the offerings brought before the Lord by Abel and Cain from our story this morning. So let's hear that story once again. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, He had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. As you hear and read this biblical story, I'm sure the question comes up, why was it that God accepted Abel's offering but not Cain's? Why the difference? And that is a very good question. And scholars and Bible teachers and all those have struggled with that answer for decades and centuries. Why was it one was accepted and the other was not? And after all the study and reading I did in preparation for this service this morning, I believe the answer is given to us through a careful reading of this passage of Scripture. Let's look at it again. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And then Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. As we look carefully at verses 3 and 4 of that scripture, we realize that there is a difference in the two offerings. In Cain's offering, it was some of the fruit of the ground. But Abel brought of the firstlings and of the fat portions. And as we read in Scripture, God wants us to give that which is first and which is best out of our love and respect and our gratitude to Him. Fat portions means to give the best. Genesis 45:18 says this, "And take your father and your households and come to me," that is, go to Egypt, "and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land." Pharaoh was telling the Hebrews to come and have the best of the land of Egypt to prosper. So what Abel gave was his best. Cain gave just something, in which is believed that he held back some of the best and of the first. But as we read on in the scripture, we understand that although the Lord did not have regard for his offering, he still very much had regard for Cain, as he did for Abel. And this speaks to the motivation of both Cain and Abel, as I previously shared with you. We confirm Cain's motivation by how he handled the rejection. But I also want to emphasize that honoring the Lord because of his love, grace, hope, salvation, and healing in our lives motivates us to give our best. But let's look at Cain's response. Cain became angry. And his anger was not just he was upset. It says that he was very angry. He was hot. He was upset with the Lord. He was angry at God because God did not accept his offering. Therefore, he rejected Cain. But the Lord did not say that. He did not reject Cain. What he rejected was his offering. And when we feel rejection, the point of this story, the key point in this story is, how do we handle it? How do we respond when we face rejection? When someone says something different than what we believe, or rejects an opinion that we give, or we've been hurt, how do we respond? Do we pause and take time to take it to the Lord? As it says in James 1:19-20, "You must understand this, my beloved, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness." That's what it says in James. But we understand that anger is a human emotion, and there are times for what is called righteous anger or holy discontent. A discontent against evil, a discontent against injustice, oppression of one people's over another, war, hatred, violence, prejudice, anything against that which is destructive and evil to the human body and to the spirit. That would lead us to a holy discontent, which is based upon the Lord's discontent of evil and sin. "But be ye angry and do not sin." But the anger here of Cain is destructive anger. He was rejected in his mind, in his belief. And he could not control his anger. It became violent and destructive to Abel. But it's anger that needs the love, forgiveness, and guidance of the Lord. I remember one day aboard the USS Enterprise, there was a chief and myself were having a disagreement over a particular issue. And I remember I got very angry with him. And I really said some things that I should not have said. And I promised myself when I became a chaplain, I would not be that kind of chaplain that would particularly would use my rank against another person. So the day went on, and I finally got back to my rack at night, and I just couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep, and I knew what I needed to do. And the Lord just pricked my conscience and my heart and said, you need to go back to that chief and make it right. So I got up, got dressed, found him, asked for his forgiveness, which he gracefully gave, and we became good friends after that. And I think it taught me a lesson between the different kind of angers. There's angers to be upset about something that isn't right, a holy discontent, but then to be hot anger because you didn't get your way or you felt you were attacked is not what the Lord wants from us. And so what was God's message to Cain? Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. See, in that phrase, the Lord wasn't rejecting Cain. At that point, he was rejecting his anger. And so how can the Lord help us with our anger? God gave us a way to handle anger, that which is not holy, when it comes up within us. And I think the first thing we do is we have to understand our anger threshold. What are the things that triggers me to become angry? What are those things that are said to me, or I hear, or read, or seen on the news, that maybe aren't my particular political party or belief or whatever? And maybe it comes from someone who loves me or is my friend and says something I just don't like, or I've been mistreated, oppressed, or done wrong. I need to understand what those triggers are and to say, it's not about them. It's about me. It's about me feeling like, you know, something's been done to me when most likely it hasn't been in a lot of ways. Am I angry because I don't get my way, or someone did something I didn't like or doesn't agree with me? It is important to understand those triggers, that threshold. What is it that calls me to become that kind of angry? And then, too, ask the Lord for help. Psalm 121, 1 through 2 is a good psalm to put in our memory. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? What's the rest of it say? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord said it to Cain. He accepted Cain. He loved Cain. He wanted Cain to do the right thing. But the Lord said to him, it's right there. Sin's right at your door. You must master it. And to master it should have been, instead of his countenance falling, his face turning downward because he was angry, to turn upward and look into the face of God. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Remember this verse, from whence will my help come? My help comes from the Lord. And three, always remember that your anger does hurt another person. But also remember that the Lord still loves you and desires for you to make it right with that other person. As it says in Matthew 5, 23 through 24, so when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. See, here's the good news. We're all human. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all going to do things which hurt those we love and those of our friends. It's going to happen. But the minute it does, we need to do that which is right. We need to ask the Lord for help. We need to go to the other person and say three words. I am sorry. And then another three words. What? Please forgive me. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And remember in that process that God's love you. God loves you. And forgiveness is the key to restored and renewed relationships with God and each other. This is very important. Because it seems to me, we as followers of Jesus Christ need to be the people of reconciliation. Because in our society and world today, there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of hatred. And we as the church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, followers of Jesus, need to be the people who bring peace and hope and love and forgiveness to a very hurting world. They need us. They may reject us, they may call us names, but not that they just need us, they need Jesus. They need to know the forgiveness, the love, and the hope through Jesus Christ. So, what about Cain? What about all of us? God loves us and calls us to be ministers of reconciliation. And let us pray. Oh, Lord God, I'm so grateful for all these folks here today. And yes, Lord, we at times lose our tempers and get angry, but you still love us. You're there for us. You forgive us. And we need to be people who forgive and love and reconcile relationships. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We are blessed. And we walk away here from today knowing that we can be the people who bring peace to this earth of ours, to our community, to our nation, and to the world. We are, blessed are the peacemakers, is what Jesus said. And we pray in his name, amen.